By 1900, Christianity had come to dominate the world, which was it was very unusual because it had not. And there were proclamations that this was going to be the beginning of this wonderful age of harmony and happiness and so on and so forth. It didn't quite work out that way. And in 1914, war broke out in Europe, the First World War, which would turn into one of the greatest catastrophes in history. Now, this war would have tremendous impact on American imperialism. Specifically, America was one of the world's leading debtors, probably the world's leading debtor. Again, this fairy tale that American business was built by free enterprising people reading the Bible and so on. This is absolute nonsense. America was not only built, as we mentioned, by massive state intervention, it was built by massive investments from overseas, particularly from the capitalists in England. J.P. Morgan, the most powerful banker in American history, got his start with his father as a broker for British loans to U.S. corporations. Now, when war broke out, total panic gripped the American business elite because, in light of America's huge debts overseas, the feeling was that England in particular would start calling in these debts to finance the war. So, in an act unprecedented in American history, there was such a state of emergency that the U.S. stock market was closed for months to hopefully prevent the entire economy from collapsing. Meanwhile, in total violation of all aspects of international law, Britain imposed a total blockade, food, medicine, everything, for its enemies in the war. In 1812, America had gone to war in protest of such a blockade, but an event occurred which put things in, shall we say, a different perspective. That event was that Britain and France, but particularly Britain, began to place enormous orders for war supplies from big business in the United States. And this set off an absolute economic boom. As a result, a revolution in world finance began to take place. Britain started, it's true, liquidating its debts, but it liquidated those debts in America and used the money to buy weapons and war supplies from American industry. This would change the center of gravity from world finance in World War I from London to New York, and America would become the number one creditor in the world up until the time of Reagan's irresponsible budget and trade policies, which would set America on the road to bankruptcy that it's currently on. Now, this transformed the whole political landscape for the discussion of the war. There was an Anglo-Saxon elite in America that was highly sympathetic to Britain to begin with. Oddly enough, the Jewish community, a good part of it, supported Germany, because the Russian Empire was a virulently anti-Semitic affair. It had presided over horrible pogroms of the Jewish population, and one of the top ministers, as we point out in our report, of the Tsar in the 19th century had even called for exterminating a third of Russia's Jews. So, and also in Germany, the head of the Economic War Department, Walter Rathenau, was one of the most respected Jewish business leaders in Europe, which all this shows the total insanity of Hitler's campaign against the Jews that would follow. But that's a whole nother story. Anyway, suffice it to say that the Anglo-Saxon elite and big business got solidly behind the idea of war with Germany. Now, out of sheer desperation, and the Germans were certainly in desperate shape, the Germans launched what is known as the U-boat campaign to try to sink the ships bringing the weapons to England. And this was never very effective, and in our view, probably counterproductive, but that's what they did. Meanwhile, a huge propaganda campaign was launched by England to spread the most nonsensical lies about the Germans. Press reports bombarded the American people that the German soldiers were cutting off the Belgian children's hands and laughing their heads off while they did it, and so on. This was very similar to the lies spread by slime such as Congressman Lantos, the chairman of the House International Relations Committee, when he scheduled a woman who later turned out to be, of all people, the Kuwaiti ambassador's daughter, to a public hearing where her identity was hidden, which supposedly revealed that Saddam Hussein's soldiers were murdering babies in the hospitals, which later turned out to be a total fabrication. But anyway, this is all a chip off the old block in terms of imperialism and lies and so on and so forth. So, anyway, William Jennings Bryan, who was a sincere social reformer, was Secretary of State under Wilson. And he obviously saw that the U.S. policy was a complete fraud in terms of claiming to be neutral. He was forced out and replaced by someone who would go along with the whole structure. Anyway, America continued to pretend that it was neutral, and the war raged on and on and on, and the economic boom got bigger and bigger and bigger in America as the war raged on and on. Now, we will then discuss the entrance of America into World War I.